Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Relationship Wednesday. It's the 28th of February, which means it's the last day of the month. Can you believe it? It's come and it's gone. And Valentine's Day feels like it was a month ago. But it's gone. Wherever anybody lives, we're on our way to springtime. It's been really cold out here. Like, my walks in the morning, my nose is running. But I love it because we don't get weather. And to actually be this cold, and like when you come in, it's warm. It's just an amazing feeling, and I didn't even have to travel to get it. So yay for just having some cold weather out here and enjoying that. And I didn't get to jump into the chat yet, so good morning to Francis, who's already bright and early and all over the chat. That's so cool. Today's topic is one we need to discuss. Like, really need to discuss it, because if I get another couple who feels like they own each other, I'm starting to see this consistency and why things are difficult. Because somewhere along the way, we confused my boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, husband with ownership. Ownership. And I thought, well, I know slavery ended. Like, what just happened? But no, I'm kidding. That's my attempt at thinking I'm funny. But seriously, I realized that part of the problems, a lot of the problems, not part, a lot of the problems, stem back to just how we were taught or how we viewed relationships and what we believe other people owe us because we are in a relationship with them. When we cross the line between sharing life and a lot of what one or the other or both are doing upsetting the one or the other or both, you're going to have problems. You're just going to have problems. But what does it look like in a relationship when one person believes they own the other? And what can you change? Or what can you say you have rights to because you are in a relationship, as opposed to not having a say in who that person is because it's not your job? So first we have to say, well, what does it mean to be in a relationship? Well, that's kind of the no-brainer. That was good. But what does it mean? It means that you and another person have decided to share your time and your life together while you are here. That's what it means. But now we have marriages, and marriage is a contract. And it's actually ultimately a business contract. The minute you get married, you have to pay for a license, you pay for a wedding, you pay for sometimes a prenup, depending on who people are. Then you get into marriage, you get a tax deduction. If you have kids, you get a bigger tax deduction. If you buy a house, you get a bigger tax deduction. If you get a car and it's attached to your work and you're self-employed and all this money, 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 money. But we call it commitment. But how do we grow into the kinds of partnerships, the partnership part of the relationship? Because the relationship's going to have a lot of things in it. It will ultimately have children, a home, and, you know, possessions and all of these things, and family. But the partnership part of relationship needs to be focused on. we put one big blanket over relationships and we just call it relationships. We do say that's my partner, but the partnership part of a relationship is what we're going to focus on, because that's the part that's getting people in trouble. Do we have the right to involve ourselves in the rights of our partners? Past the common sense. I mean, of course, you guys are together and you're committed to each other and you're building a life and you both know that direction. That's the no-brainer. But what are the boundaries and how does it affect our relationships as a whole? And I realized that the one probably healthiest thing any partnership can do or be is to have space, to give each other space to be who they are. And that's much easier said than done. There's some people who get very nervous when their partner isn't around, or anxious, or they wonder if they're still loved, cared for, so they want that person there all the time. But the person can't realistically be there all the time. The only person who's with you all the time is you. So then when there isn't space, then you're going to have like trust issues, not the kind of trust issues like something's going on you can't control. You have the trust issues that if the other person isn't there, you're not okay. So you have to build your trust. Because one of the best, most enriching parts of a relationship is feeling that calmness when you're apart. It's easy to feel calmness when someone's there. They're there. But when your day has to go on the way it does and you aren't concerned about your partner's behavior, which is the stem of all issues, is that concern about partner's behaviors? Because we don't own another person's behaviors. I'm going to say that one more time. We don't own anybody's behavior, not even our kids. What does that mean? You cannot control or own another person's temperament. You cannot control what that person's past was that made them who they are, that made them either secretive or a little sneaky or really great. Those are things you find out as you get to know the person just by living with them or just by sharing your time with them. But you find it out because you don't own it. You learn it. It's what you do with what you learn that determines the relationship. But we don't own anyone's behavior. I dated someone once. Great guy. Probably had the best first date ever. We talked like we knew each other for a lifetime. It was so powerful and so strong that it carried me over stuff that didn't make sense to me in the relationship. Literally just didn't make sense. And I realized that I jumped in because of that relation, that conversation, and so did he. But jumping into the relationship meant two different things to us. And what a relationship meant to me was so different from what a relationship meant to him that I couldn't stay. I loved him. I broke up, went back, broke up, went back, broke up, went back. Because when I went back, I realized the issues were still there. The love made me go back. The caring for this person made me go back. But I couldn't trust his behavior, which I don't own. I don't own his behavior. So you either trust the other person's behavior or you don't. And it's a feeling you have. There isn't any way to figure that one out except for how you feel. Do you feel a calmness when you're apart? Do you feel a warmth when you're together? Are there undercurrents in the relationships? Unresolved issues, that when you go to resolve an issue, it actually gets resolved? Because it's one thing when issues get resolved along the way, and it's another thing when the other person starts spinning you and you don't get to resolve the issue, because then the issue remains an issue. And then they pile up, and then every argument is, you know, days long because you're too busy blaming each other and someone has to be right or wrong. I couldn't trust the behavior, which came as a result of small, little, nothing misunderstandings that turned into big things because all of a sudden I was getting blamed for noticing something that actually happened, and the thing that actually happened never got discussed. Started whittling away my trust. Then I'd start finding things out. And he would tell on himself. I never had to go out and figure it out. Literally would mumble it out of his mouth. What happened? When I finally realized that it's the behavior and I can't do anything about someone's behavior, I can't follow someone their whole life. I don't have the time to follow anybody their whole life just to have a relationship with them. And I finally said, you know what? We're great friends. Let's stay great friends because I need to sleep at night. And you aren't really that honest. So because I can't trust you, the behaviors that you've exhibited are what made me not trust you. And I don't own you, but I do own my right to have a happy and successful relationship in my mind, in my life, in my heart, in my feelings. If I believed I owned him, I'd probably still be there and still fighting with him over the things that he does that are just non-relational behaviors. It's almost like I want to be in a relationship, but this 20% of me isn't so sure. So let me do this over here. If you know, you just don't know what's happening, it's okay. Well, that behavior isn't going to keep him in any relationship, not just mine with him. I know women. You either both jump in or you both jump out. But you can't say you want somebody there and not honor the fact that they're there. So whatever it is we think a partnership is, if you can just remember that you cannot own the person's traits, their temperament, their behavior, the way they trust, the way they're trustworthy, that's stuff that's not in your hands. And if you go back, whether it's the man, the woman, or both of them, and maybe that's what attracted them, it's that lack of ownership over the things they can't control. Because every relationship that person was in ran into the same wall. And I realized over time of hearing things over and over and over again that temperament and behavior, those two things have been the reason why people stayed together or the reason why they didn't. That trust that we need to believe we're with someone of sound temperament, balanced temperament, so that when we do go to each other with something, we can actually discuss it. We actually can communicate. But you will find out that if you had issues with this and you really talk to the person one-on-one, just alone, without their partner in the room, that all their other relationships broke up for that same reason. And because they haven't gotten past that point, and sometimes they just couldn't see that they were doing it, even though other people would tell them, they were blind to it. And they look at you like you just told them they're a mass murderer because you told them that their temperament is part of the issue and the behaviors that are non-relational. Let's say one likes to travel and the other doesn't, so the one just travels by themselves and leaves the other one behind. Or one has doesn't have enough money to travel with them and they don't want to pay for you. Or whatever the scenarios that have run across my world that I listen to, you can't change that behavior. You're either going to accept it or not. But if you try to accept it and you don't trust, you're going to have problems. It's not looking at, do I trust this person? I would beg to say that in the beginning, you don't know the person enough to know if you trust them. You don't know the person enough to know if there's a calmness when you're apart and a warmth when you're together, and that you can do separate things and you can create great experiences together. And there are no undercurrents of, oh, we have to talk about this. Oh, we have to talk about that. You did this. You did that. And the older you get, the more tiring it becomes. Because you figure by now you should have that at least figured out to the point where you know who would be a good partner for you or not. But temperament and behavior are two things that can get us in so much trouble when we believe we own that in the other person. Don't act like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And the list gets longer and longer. Well, what are you doing then? If you're not doing all of these things, what are you doing? And why does somebody have to tell you not to do those things? There's a lot to be said for the acceptance of temperament and behavior, because those two things, when the temperament of the other person is something that you can work with, then you will never be scared to go to that person with whatever you need. And it takes a lot of trust to feel safety in approaching somebody with how you feel. It takes a lot of trust. I know, because people who have come to me told me they're scared to bring up certain topics, but it's unresolved in them. But then they figure, but we've been together for a long time. A long time sometimes is a year. I say, well, imagine 20. Can you handle holding on to that for 20 years? 30 years? Because that kind of stress, if you wake up every day and you're with somebody whose temperament you don't get along with, because you can't feel enough safety to feel trust in the fact that you can solve issues with this person, because you can't own their temperament, you can only work with it, then that's not the place for you. Doesn't mean the person's bad. The relationship I had where I kept going back, I really love the person. I really love him. But boy, temperament? No, I wasn't safe at all to bring up anything. And the poor guy, every time I brought something up to him, it was like a bigger hole got dug. And I'd be like, wow, you really revealed a lot. I was only asking about this. Holy cow. And then I had more reason to worry that I was in the wrong place. Because I would feel more unsettled than settled because his temperament was very passive-aggressive. When we were just normal, he was sweet, he was warm, he was loving. We go on walks, we always held hands on walks. I don't even know if I know how to walk anymore without holding hands. There was an issue. It was like a different person came out. A blaming person, a pointing fingers. It was like this level of maturity just didn't happen. But because he couldn't see it, things pile up until whoever is in his life, not just me, but whoever is in his life, the load on their back gets so high that they squash under it. And they're unable to stay. And the sad part is they leave with love. He's the best example I could give because I saw the nuances of it every day besides what comes to me. That temperament, just that word, and behavior, those two things will make or break any relationship we have, whether it's at work, whether it's with a partner, whether it's with our children, whether it's with our friends. Think about every friend you have. Because friends, they're in this different category. They're people we choose that we know we don't own. That's why friendships are so great. We get it. We get, I don't own that person. And it's so exciting to hear what they have to say. Because we allow them to live their life. We allow them to be who they are. So when they come to us with who they are, we can only love them more. So when you have a partnership that is a friendship as well, then the trust is there. The calmness apart is there, just like a friendship that you're not in a partnership with. You can tell each other anything. And even if they disagree with you, they'll say, wow, that's hard for me to see, but I get where you're coming from. So we give each other support. That's why people, when they get married and they say, this is my best friend, you know they're going to stay together. You could see it a mile away. The fact that they could say that in front of each other, it fuels each other to even be better friends, to even give it more love, to even give it more juice to be that. It's the power of what we say. But if you're getting married and saying, let me see how this works out, or yeah, we have some issues, but we'll work them out. And you're getting married? What happens if you don't work them out? Then what? Because we cannot own the temperament. If you're marrying someone who talks like that, you're never going to be sure of anything if everything is waiting to be worked out. There is an energy. There is a synergy in being able to work things out through temperament and behavior. There is a huge bonding that happens when two people can reach each other through their natural temperaments. Temperament meaning, I'll listen to you when you talk. I'll respond to you. What you say actually matters to me. I enjoy living my life and I enjoy coming back at the end of the day at times and sharing it with you. And when we can, I enjoy spending the whole day with you. And when we get married, it will only feel better. That you can deal with. But if you do this and if you do that, that's going to be a problem. Well, okay. How do you deal with that? Because now you're living in parameters and boundaries and in limits. Because the temperament of the other person is so fragile that if you do something that shakes their world, like maybe you're not available when they want you to be, and so that makes them upset, hurt, bad, or uncared for, Let me ask you, how many times will you do something that's going to make them feel that way? So now you are changing your behavior to try to fill someone's temperament who isn't as mature as yours. So what is going to happen is either you're going to cut everything out of your life to keep them happy, and before you know it, you cut out more and more and more, and you're living for them. Or you both have trust and calmness apart and warmth together, and you're able to do separate things, and you're able to create experiences that build your relationship. And there are no undercurrents of, well, you know, if I do that, he'll be really upset. Or if she does that, I'm going to get really mad at her. Or if he goes out, you know, three nights a week with his friends and he doesn't come home till after midnight, this is not happening. But those things wouldn't happen if you guys had the right temperament. You have to be able to understand, just like you would the guidelines of any friendship you would have by choice, people that you choose by choice to be friends with. You choose by choice to be friends with. Partnerships are not just, I love that person. Also behavioral things that happen that can really be enriching and really be beautiful in your life with that person. Because you understand that you cannot own their temperament and behavior. I can't imagine at this point in life, which, you know, we always wish we had this when we were younger. But I can't imagine at this point in life somebody walking into my life and let's say they told me, wow, you're really too close to your kids. Well, you don't really spend enough time with me. Oh, your kids are lucky they have you because they get to see you every day. But, you know, I only get to see you two times a week and now we're doing this. I have to say, wow, well, wait, we just met. Or, wow, what's going on? Why is that insecurity there? And you find out the person in their own childhood didn't get much attention and that never left. So then you have to ask yourself, can I provide that kind of, that level of attention? Is it very needy? Can I handle that kind of needy? Well, when we're little, we think, wow, they really need me. Wow, they really want to see me. But when we get older, that looks different because now we've had enough experience to know that we won't be a working partnership. We're going to be like a parent and a child. If that's what works for you, if that's what your temperament needs to feel like you are a parent to the person you're a partner with, then great. But if it doesn't, then it's going to be hard for you. The whole point of a partnership, the whole point of taking it into a relationship is to share your life with somebody you enjoy every single day, even at its worst. You know you want to be there the next day. Temperament. Think of your temperament. What kind of person are you? How would you be for someone else to get along with you? You don't have to agree with everything. Just who are you? So that when you meet someone, you know who they are. It's so crazy, but those two things, temperament and behavior, Christ didn't even have a third. That was it. So I hope you guys have a great relationship Wednesday. I will see you on Thursday. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.